For now, though, what has Pip Adam been reading? She joins us now. Hi there, Pip.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I've got a kind of an old book next to my. There's a woman up north who kind of offers a service of picking a book for a person, and we did a story about her maybe a year ago, and she picked a book for me and sent it to me. It's called The Education of Little Tree. Does that ring any bells?
No, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so some people listening might have heard of it. It's the story of a young sort of mixed race Native American boy being educated in the woods by his grandfather about the natural world. It's quite a simple story. You know, it's a few years old now, but I'm really enjoying it. It feels like a nourishing book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, what an amazing service to do for people.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'll see if I can look up and find her name, because it just occurred to me to mention it to you because that's what's on my bedside table at the moment. But tell me about your theme for this week.
Well, I feel sorry to bring a downer on that after that beautiful sounding book. I was just thinking last week the Reserve Bank announced that it was predicting a year-long recession starting in the middle of 2023, and you know, to sort of curb these spiraling things, they raise the official cash rate.
Yes.
And it was kind of, I'm, as you know, obsessed with money, so I listened to everything I possibly could about it. And
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I love money. I mean, I have no money, but I love anything to do with economics.
Oh,
I just
that's
find
so
that
interesting. Do you get Bernard Hickey's morning email and his morning podcast? Yeah. Because I'm the same as you. For some reason, I can't get enough of it. And so it's lovely to have someone in New Zealand who's producing this kind of daily look at all those, you know, the way child poverty and economics and the environment and how they all interact.
Yeah, because I think the thing that really interested me and started me thinking about these books is that so much of it is about story, you know. Like, I was thinking that this is the thing that I found a little frustrating in the wake of that news, is that we continued to hear sort of the same kind of ideas coming over and over again. You know, we have to get employment down, we have to lower wages, everybody needs to stop spending.
Yeah.
And I just these three books in particular have got me thinking about how the economy isn't like a natural thing like weather. It's something that we invented, and
right,
it's something that we can kind of control the drivers of. You know, we can make decisions about how we move forward. And what I really love about these three books is each one of them kind of gives this opportunity. A book is a relatively low risk thing where you can read it and agree with the ideas or not agree with the ideas, but it can give you just this tiny little portal into some new different ways of thinking about things. And these three books in particular I thought were quite interesting for that way.
Oh, I love that. I really love it. I can't wait to hear what you've got for us.
Well, just I just looked at my paper. So I've called Max Rashbourne. I'm sorry about that. So the first book I was interested in is this new book by Max. It's called Too Much Money: How Wealth Disparities Are Unbalancing Aotearoa New Zealand. And I think, as well as this being a really interesting book, a book that, you know, I sort of agree with and disagree, but you know, it offers a space to sort of have thoughts about. What's interesting is I think yesterday and this morning Max was on News Talk, I think, talking about this idea of limiting the amount of donations a single person can make to a political party. And I think that's very emblematic of what this book is about. This book sort of starts to talk a lot about wealth disparity and this kind of the way that New Zealand has become this slightly unbalanced kind of society and what wealth gives us as far as privilege and political power goes. So it's a really interesting book. I just really enjoyed reading it because, again, it just sort of gave this idea that other possibilities were available to us.
Yes, and he's not all kind of pie in the sky, rah-rah. It's grounded in very solid data. He's particularly interested in inequality and really interested in lining up the numbers so you can demonstrate wealth inequality and income inequality as well, and how that's changed over the last, 40 years?
Yeah, and I think this is what's really interesting about the work that Rashbrook does, is that I recently went to a panel on money, and it was really interesting because there's room for people to be imagining and, you know, big thinkers, and one of the books we'll talk about at the end is like this. But what I really love about Rashbrook is that he's always got the numbers, you know, and the numbers are, you know, as, you know, I also love maths. One of the other great things is that a number can just hit you in the gut, you know, like just this idea that, you know, we've got a very few families that own almost all of the property in New Zealand. Yeah. And just this idea of, it was really great. It was about the cost of living. And these ideas are sort of coming through in this book, where they're very much based in statistics and facts. Well, I mean, yeah, they're based in statistics and maths. And it means that there's a way to talk about these ideas, you know, in ways that are sort of based in these kind of empirical ideas, but also sort of have this eye on a slightly different, more, what's the word, more equal sort of society.
Yeah, totally. And okay, a couple of things. One is that Max Rashbrook is on the panel today talking about political party donations, for anyone who wants to listen. The other person I'm thinking about as you talk about this is Mike Joy, who I haven't had on the show for a while. He's a freshwater ecologist, but I remember interviewing him in the very early days of my time here at RNZ, and, you know, we'd chat about this and that, and I'd say, well, you know, what is the alternative? You know, it's the only way our economy is going to grow, or what's that effect? And him saying, no, there is, like, another way. You know, we need to rethink that growth is, by virtue of itself, just a great thing that we should always be aiming for. You know, it's time to totally rethink the whole system. And I love those moments where someone actually makes you look at the stuff that you had assumed was true and assumed would always be true. And I think Max does a great job of that.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, that's one of the compelling things about this book. One of the most compelling arguments is this idea that how old is this system that we're in at the moment? You know, like, this system this system has not been innate since the beginning of time. You know, so there is space for change and there is space for revolutionary change.
Love it, love it. By the way, a couple of books for you. Another one I just finished called Maths Without Numbers. A guest recommended it to me. I think the data guy from the spin-off recommended it to me, and I've just finished it. You might really enjoy that one. So it's just,
I have, you know, got it down. I'm taking notes.
The guy is a math prodigy, and he just challenges himself to write a book about maths without using any numbers, explaining concepts and nice little mathematical patterns and idiosyncrasies. It's fun.
Oh, I love the sound of that. I love it.
I'll lend it to you. I'll send it down to RNZ on the internal mail for next time you're down if you're interested.
Love it. I would love it.
Okay. So that first book you're talking about, I've got Pip Adam on the line, by the way, talking about books that imagine a different world today. That was Max Rashbrook's Too Much Money, How Wealth Disparities Are Unbalancing Aotearoa New Zealand. And then More Zeros and Ones is your other book.
Yes. Now, this is edited by Anna Pendergrast and Kelly Pendergrast, and it's another Bridget Williams book, BWB, amazing, amazing publisher that makes these incredibly beautiful sort of a series of books which always have a white cover. They're always relatively inexpensive. You can always get them as an electronic copy, and they just bring together these very big ideas. So More Zeros and Ones is a sequel in a way. There was another book written about technology called Shouting Zeros and Ones, and this is sort of looking at it again. And the big idea that this book undoes is this idea of things being, it sort of raises this idea that we can look at socio-technology systems. So rather than systems where the machine runs the people or the machines run the process, a lot of the essays in this book look at situations where a societal need or a person has sort of started the process of designing the machine. So it's an incredible, I mean, it's not exactly talking about the economy, but what I think's great about it is that technology is just this massive power suck and this massive, you know, the richest people in the world tend to be playing around in this stuff. But what the Pendergrasts offer is this incredible set of voices, like very diverse voices, speaking about ways that technological systems can be built that don't sort of favour technology, they kind of favour societal and ideas of, they start with this very simple preface of how do we make a fairer society again, and sort of come at it with all these people that are doing amazing work in technology.
Lovely. And this is a book of different voices.
Yes, yeah. So it's each, the Pendergrass have brought together a lot of different essays, and the essays have all been authored in different ways as well. There are single authors, there are multiple authors. There's one beautiful part which is talking about Te Tiriti or Waitangi and technology, where it's an interview, a conversation, and it's really compelling. So there's this very range of voices sort of going from the quite academic to the conversational, and the book is just amazing. And again, it's one of those beautiful little pocket-sized BWBs, so you can throw it in your handbag. It's not much bigger than a cell phone, and you can take it on the bus and read it.
Any essays in particular stand out?
There is one amazing one, and of course I haven't brought my copy to my desk, but there's one amazing one which talks about agriculture. It sort of starts with the people that pick fruit, and instead of starting saying this is the technology that will now pick the fruit, it starts with them sort of talking about their job and what needs they have and what parts of the job are difficult. So that's an incredible one, because I often think of IT, AI sort of happening in Silicon Valley, but I think as far as the land goes, there's a lot happening in New Zealand which I think is very, really quite revolutionary.
Lovely, Pip. Two great recommends there. What else do you have for us?
Oh, I've just got one final one. This is called Everything for Everyone, An Oral History of the New York Commune, 2052 to 2072. It's by Emmy O'Brien and Eamon Adzohardy. This is just this very weird, beautiful book that imagines life after the collapse. So it's a series of oral histories that have been completely imagined, but just give a lot of hope. I was just thinking about the place that imagination kind of sits as far as these books go, the opportunity to imagine different systems gives us perhaps something to sort of work towards. But it's a great book. It is quite a Marxist book. It's quite an anarchist book. It's quite a revolutionary book, but I really enjoyed it. It was great.
So that's interesting. An imagined oral history. I don't know if I've come across that before.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful structure, because what you're doing is kind of, there's another great book that came out last year called The Employees, which is also sort of an oral history in this way. So, yeah, it's just this wonderful thing. I remember Ursula K. Le Guin saying that you should write science fiction like you're writing history. And this is a really good example of that. This is simply interviews that have been recorded, and the story kind of comes together through these conversations and interviews.
Oh, they're really good recommendations, Pip, and I'll contact you about lending you my Maths Without Numbers book, because I think
Yay.
You'll enjoy that one too.
Thank
Lovely
you
to
so
have
much.
You on. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Pete. Thank Pip, you. Have a good day.
Pip Adam, Books That Show How It Can Be Different. Did I mention the name of that second one? It was More Zeros and Ones, new from Bridget Williams Books by Anna and Kelly Pendergast. And that last one was called Everything for Everyone, An Oral History of the New York Commune.